As federal agencies consolidate and rehab their offices, more and more of them are choosing open designs with little or no partitions between colleagues. A Federal News Radio survey last month showed many employees loathe to see those private offices or even cubicles disappear in favor of working cheek by jowl. Well, none more so than people with disabilities, as Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp reports.
Like many agencies, the Health and Human Services Department is choosing to replace employees' private offices with open workspaces as it renovates its old buildings. Assistant Secretary for Administration Ned Holland says that's how people like to work these days.
In the old days, when I was a youngster, we all wanted to have closed wall, closed door offices and go in and work by ourselves. Today, we'll find that most people don't work that way. That is not what we're teaching youngsters in school. It's not what we're teaching students in college, and it isn't the way people prefer to work. And in fact, it's not the most effective way to work. It's not some accident that we're doing this. It's because we've found that that's the way to do the public's work, just as it is the way to do the private sector work.
It's the right way to work, he says, because it lets people sit, see, and talk to each other. Not everyone agrees. Feds who answered Federal News Radio's online survey overwhelmingly said they did not like the idea of moving to an open office. They complained about the noise. One person said their colleagues were like prairie dogs, popping up to ask questions whenever they wanted. Sounds annoying, sure. But those with disabilities see it in starker terms. The advocacy group Federal Employees with Disabilities sees the situation as so dire that it is written to President Barack Obama. The group's leader, Jason Olson, explains why.
One of the major things we were hearing from people with disabilities, especially some who have disabilities such as autism, was that open air, open space environments were not conducive to a healthy work environment for them, and that it could actually impact their ability to produce. So we took that very seriously, and we started looking into the issue.
By law, employers have to give employees with disabilities whatever they need to do their jobs. Someone who is blind might use software called JAWS. It reads aloud the words on their computer screen. Someone else might need a sign language interpreter. All of that could prove too much for a colleague sitting nearby who suffers from autism or attention deficit disorder. Olson says agencies don't seem to have thought about these situations.
The idea of being able to accommodate someone once they've been moved to the structure was an afterthought. So, for example, someone who uses a JAWS or someone who uses one of these other types of technology, there may not be a space available for them. Or let's say, you know, with the hoteling type workstations, you know, it may limit their choices as far as where they can work. But the scarier thing is the idea that some agencies have been telling people that what they can do is telework a lot more. While telework is a great option for some people, some people do go to work because they like social interaction and they like to feel included. There's another way to say it, but when you remove that as a possibility because someone has a disability, you're really segregating a whole population.
The group's letter highlights a situation coming to a head at the Administration for Community Living. It's a small HHS agency that caters to the disabled and elderly. Many employees have disabilities themselves. Most of them have offices where they can shut the door if they need to. But that's changing when the agency moves to a renovated building kitty-corner from HHS's headquarters. A few offices will go to managers. Most employees with disabilities will be thrust into an open environment. One ACL employee agreed to speak with me only if I kept his identity secret. He said he feared angering the Obama administration. The White House has told agencies to cut real estate costs and consolidate their properties as part of an initiative known as Reduce the Footprint. It's a government-wide priority to get us into this workspace arrangement, this ACL employee told me. People are nervous that HHS might not handle their request for reasonable accommodations with the same impartiality if they complain about the transition, he said. Other federal employees with disabilities told me they believe this person was right to be concerned. They said some agencies had taken months to provide reasonable accommodations, even though the law requires it. One person told me he avoided a move to an open office only when he got his congressman to lobby his agency. The General Services Administration plays a key role in moving agencies to open offices. Its Public Buildings Commissioner, Norman Dong, wrote back to federal employees with disabilities. He said GSA treats the requirements to accommodate employees' disabilities and cut property costs with similar urgency. Before GSA starts any office project, it does a lot of research. Its chief workplace officer, Chuck Hardy, says it surveys employees, conducts focus groups, and even does walkthroughs of existing offices to see for themselves what's working and what's not.
When we come in and operate pretty much as a consultant to one of our partner agencies, we're engaging with those employees and looking beyond just space issues. We're looking at technology, we're looking at culture, and we're offering holistic solutions around that. Through the surveys, through the focus groups, and through the structured process that we bring in, we're looking to find different ways to bring that information out and to have the hard conversations that they may not have internal to their own agencies.
GSA is also the poster child for the open office movement in the federal government. It renovated its Washington headquarters 2 years ago, knocked down office walls, and even took away assigned seating. So the fact that GSA has a hand in other agencies' renovations unnerves those who already have doubts about open offices. But Hardy says GSA is not trying to build copycats throughout the government.
What I tell folks is the model at 1800F that GSA has adopted is right for GSA. It's not something you pick up and put someplace else, but the process that we went through to get to this model is right for every agency. It's a conversation, the engagement with employees, and the leveling and the input of change management practices, proper change management practices.
Hardy says GSA doesn't reach out specifically to federal employees about their disabilities. It tries to capture the sentiments of all workers. He says the agency welcomes anyone who brings issues to its attention. The employee at the Administration for Community Living sent me a copy of the survey they received from GSA. There's a question about current workspaces, but the survey really focuses on whether or not employees feel prepared for the changes to come. This employee told me they still hold out hope that the change will go better than they expect. President Obama has issued an executive order telling agencies to be model employers of people with disabilities.
We're not saying 100% don't do it. What we're saying is make sure that you're planning appropriately and that you're talking to the people that it's going to affect.
Olson, the president of the group Feds, says the problem is really not about location. It's communication.
Disabilities are unique and the solutions are unique, and not all disabilities will be able to be addressed with some of these simple solutions, especially if it's something that wasn't pre-planned for. And that's really what we're getting to. You know, if they want to move to these open type environments, getting the voice of the people with disabilities actually involved is the key to making that transition successful.
The government consulted an accessibility expert when planning the new space for the Administration for Community Living. HHS's Holland says they'll keep studying employees' needs and find ways to accommodate them. And he's positive that they'll like the new space more than they expect.
We've had people who move who, I think it's fair to say, might have been skeptical and then move in and say, oh, this is pretty nice. And we haven't had anybody come screaming and saying, this is horrible, we got to change it back. It was a huge mistake. That simply hasn't happened. By the way, nor did it happen when I was in the private sector when we did exactly the same things.
To those who say the government's two priorities of consolidating real estate and being a model employer of people with disabilities are at odds, Holland says, bah humbug.
It's a false choice. We do both. We can do both. We will do both in the future. And I want to remind us that it's not just the federal government that has an obligation to accommodate people with disabilities. Throughout the private sector, I worked at three separate Fortune 500 companies. We had to do exactly the same thing. We did it gladly, and we will continue to do it here just like they've done every place else in the country.
The Administration for Community Living moves into its new space this fall. For Federal News Radio, I'm Emily Kopp.